Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 29th of September, 2011. Hello, I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And put that power along with our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. Together, you've got three stations that cover Southern Arizona from one end to the other. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web, buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, and we archive our previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can now be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Our lead interview today will be with Clint Bolick, Mr. Bolick from the Goldwater Institute. He had some very interesting things to say in a recent Wall Street Journal op-ed piece talking about federalism in the age of Obama. At about 20 minutes past 12, we'll talk with the mayor of the town of Oro Valley. Mayor Hiermath will preview his upcoming State of the Town address next week. At 30 minutes past noon, all your questions will be answered about eating gluten-free. And then we'll close out the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show with an update on the search for a new president of the University of Arizona. The Buckmaster Show is primarily interview-driven, but we want you to be a part of the conversation. So call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll free 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Now on to our lead story. Federalism is the defining constitutional issue in the age of Obama. So writes Clint Bolick in an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Bolick says on issues from the new federal health care mandates to the right to the secret ballot in union elections, the states are fighting to protect not only their own autonomy, but the freedom of their citizens against a federal government determined to exceed its constitutional boundaries. Clint Bolick is litigation director at the Goldwater Institute in Phoenix. He's also a research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institute, and he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Clint, how are you?
Oh, just terrific, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's good to talk with you again, and I was very interested in that op-ed piece, which was titled, the headline writer said, "Why is Arizona in the Jim Crow penalty box?" What were you trying to convey here, Clint?
Well, this is something that very few people know about, but it imposes huge costs on Arizona in a variety of ways, and that is, there is a provision of the federal Voting Rights Act that is what I call a penalty box, and it takes a number of jurisdictions that supposedly were among the worst violators of civil rights, and it forces them to ask the Justice Department for permission to change anything that relates to voting. That is even down to the level of changing the location of a polling place or changing the number of pages on a ballot from 1 to 2. And Arizona is in that penalty box, and it's been there since 1975. And it shouldn't have been there in the first place. It shouldn't be there now. And as a result, at our prompting, Attorney General Tom Horn filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of that provision, which is known as Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. And that is one big federalism issue that I suspect is going to make it up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
And Clint Bolick, unless I'm wrong here, the state has zero record of discriminating against minorities. In fact, Arizona does go out of its way, doesn't it, Clint, for Spanish-speaking voters?
I believe it does. Of course, we have bilingual ballots and voter materials, and out of thousands of requests that various Arizona governments have submitted to the Justice Department over the last 10 years. The Justice Department has had objections to a whopping 2. So I think that we have a perfectly fine record in terms of voter access, and to be subject to this Jim Crow penalty box, as the Wall Street Journal headline put it, is simply reprehensible.
And you also say this is part of the bigger picture here, that states are increasingly reduced to "may I please, sir." You point out the Motor Vehicle Division, which registers voters as well as drivers, wanted to close 22 offices for budget reasons. Well, before they could do that, they had to get pre-clearance from Washington, and on it goes.
That's right, and it's incredibly burdensome. It's not just the state that has to do this, but literally every school board, every locality, anytime they change their boundaries or do anything that has even the remotest impact on voting, they have to go to Washington, D.C. and ask permission from the Justice Department. And that's simply not the way that sovereign states are supposed to interact with the federal government.
It's 11 minutes past noon on the Buckmaster Show. Clint Bullock is with us from the Goldwater Institute. He is the litigation director at the Goldwater Institute. He's also a research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institute. If you have any questions, if you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. I want to switch gears here. I know you are involved in the Arizona Renewable Energy Standard, which went before the Arizona Supreme Court, and the Goldwater Institute's challenge was not successful, correct?
Well, the Arizona Supreme Court declined to review the adverse decision that we received from the Court of Appeals. And as a result, that's the end of the lawsuit. We had challenged the Corporation Commission's power grab in basically forcing all utility companies into a one-size-fits-all renewable energy standard that compels them to use renewable energy regardless of cost, regardless of technological possibilities. And it's adding a huge burden to Arizona consumers, all of whom are paying more money as a result of these standards, which we continue to believe are unlawful, but unfortunately the Court of Appeals did not agree with us.
Well, the Tucson Electric Power, for example, can charge an additional 0.7 cents per kilowatt hour, up to $4.50 monthly for residential customers. That's $160 for small commercial customers. So you're saying, in effect, this really adds up.
It really does. You know, it's a significant portion of people's utility bills. It especially hurts people who are on fixed incomes or who are unemployed. And, as you just pointed out, small businesses, you know, it's just yet another tax. And it doesn't give us more energy, and it certainly doesn't give us cheaper energy. It just fulfills the green fantasies of the regulators at the Arizona Corporation Commission.
Would you like to see those the state regulators, would you like to see them actually drop this whole renewable energy standard entirely?
Yes. I think that the market is the best way to determine when and where to use renewable energy. And, you know, solar, I would love to see solar be a type of energy that can be delivered efficiently, but it's the most subsidized industry in the entire United States. It cannot stand without massive subsidies, not only to the producers, but to the consumers as well. And once that becomes a market-worthy type of energy, you'll see the utility companies moving to embrace it more and more. But right now, in order to have renewable energy sources, we have to pay a lot of extra money.
You know, getting back to your piece in the Wall Street Journal, which was titled "Why is Arizona in the Jim Crow Penalty Box?" You point out that this increasing oversight of the federal government, it really has been, it's been accentuated under the Obama administration. Is that safe to say?
Oh, yes. I don't think there's ever been an administration that has had as much top-down regulation of the states as the current administration. Fortunately, our U.S. Supreme Court is the most pro-federalism court in any of our lifetimes, and it's setting up some very, very interesting battles.
Coming up on 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show, Clint Bolick is with us, the litigation director at the Goldwater Institute in Phoenix. And I think we're going to go to a quick call, Clint, if we can take it now from Alan on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Alan. You're with Clint Bolick.
Yes, thanks a lot. Clint, I just wanted to address one thing. Clint said that renewable energy is expensive, but I'd also like to point out that it's not reliable. So electric systems have to be built to reliably serve the customer. And so all of these renewable generators that are being built still have to have fossil fuel or nuclear-powered generators to back them up.
It's a good point. Clint, your comment.
Alan, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's more an ideological move on the part of the Corporation Commission than, you know, anything based on sound science or technology. And it's really unfortunate. This Corporation Commission, very few Arizonans even know that it exists, much less the sweeping powers that it's taken on. It is supposed to regulate rates. That is its duty under the Arizona Constitution. But it has essentially stolen from the Arizona legislature the power to regulate utility companies down to the kilowatt, literally. And I'm hoping that now that we have not succeeded in challenging this in the courts, that the legislature, which certainly would take a different path, will reclaim its authority over renewable energy policy.
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap it up here, Clint, but you have said the legislature has really been cowered by the solar industry into submission, and you would agree with that, I guess.
Very much so. It's really a shame that an industry that is very entrepreneurial has turned to government subsidies for its very existence. And I was at a legislative hearing where there was a bill to undo what the Corporation Commission had done, and it was just filled with lobbyists from the solar industry. So the legislature backed down. I'm hoping now that we see the Solyndra scandal and we see how much taxpayer money is being pumped into this industry, that it will give the legislature a little more courage.
Okay, Clint Bolick, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. Clint from the Goldwater Institute. Have a great afternoon.
An honor to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's coming up on 18 minutes past the hour of noon on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We'll talk with the mayor of the town of Oro Valley. He's got some interesting things coming up. Stay with us. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialist and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
It's 12:22 on the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Well, next Thursday, October the 6th, Oro Valley Mayor Dr. Satish Hiremath will be delivering his second State of the Town address. Mayor Hiremath will be sharing details of the partnerships the town of Oro Valley, which is one of the state's fastest growing communities, is developing, and the strategic measures being taken to grow the local economy. Mayor Hiremath, who is a practicing dentist in Oro Valley, joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Dr. Hiremath, Mayor Hiremath, good to talk with you.
Nice speaking with you, Bill.
So give us a little preview of what you're going to be saying. You don't have to give us the whole speech, but bottom line.
Well, good, because I want people to attend.
Of course, of course. Give us a tease, a little bit of preview.
Well, the bottom line really is just about the unique, innovative ideas that Oro Valley is trying to come up with to just survive this economy. It goes in line, we're going to create a new volunteer program. To where in these down economic times, obviously, pretty much every governmental agency nationwide has had to cut staff. But we have two very successful volunteer programs in the form of the Friends of the Oro Valley Public Library, which contributed 14,000 hours last year, as well as the Oro Valley Police Department, their Citizens Volunteer Assistance program, which contributed 17,000 volunteer hours. So the town of Oro Valley, from a governmental standpoint, is going to kind of expound on that and create a town of Oro Valley volunteer program, which is going to kind of be infill for the reduced staff or the skeleton staff. And that's one way. Another way is that we're trying to come up with a unique Shop Local campaign, which is an offshoot of the Shop Oro Valley campaign. And that is going to encourage everybody to want to shop locally, and we're going to try to launch that right before the holiday season begins.
You also have, and I don't know if this will come up in your speech, but I know the sign code enforcement, you're going to actually, there's been a change made in that. It will be over the next year or so?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it went into effect immediately. One of the things that we've had major trouble with in the town of Oro Valley is, you know, whether to support business, not at the cost of residents. And, you know, we always have a very bad habit of pitting the business development side against residents. For the last 3-4 months or so, we've been trying to talk about economic relief strategies. So for lack of a better term, just a temporary relief from the economy playbook. A-frames, as we know, as a permanent code, are not allowed in the town of Oro Valley. Outdoor public displays, which are the merchandise that businesses kind of showcase in front of the stores, patio furniture being one, barbecue grills being another, really weren't allowed. And the permitting process was still pretty onerous. So just last council meeting, we elected to put into this temporary relief from the economy playbook A-frames, we put into it outdoor public displays. We've lowered or eliminated permit fees for 2 holiday seasons, basically, just to kind of shore up the business community. Because in the absence of real estate taxes, you know, we have to realize that our job, where we go to get a paycheck, and I don't mean that in the sense of duty, but our job where the government gets a paycheck is through sales tax. And if we don't take the measures to support them, then we're going to have to find other sources of revenue.
Mayor Hiermath is with us from Oro Valley. What's this about Oro Valley exploring perhaps inmate labor?
Yes, as a matter of, Marana has done that very successfully. Buffalo grass, I'm not sure people really are aware of the severity of this invasive species of buffalo grass, but it's literally not only a fire hazard, but it's choking off the native flora and fauna of Arizona in general, let alone southern Arizona. And so for 50 cents on the hour, we can get low offense criminals who are almost on the verge of being released, who are going to be released back into society anyway, to get them to kind of reacclimate that back into society. The program we're looking at, Bill, actually has no cost associated with it. So this is kind of a trial program. The town of Marana has been successfully doing that for 8 years. And it's another innovative way to get something accomplished at low to minimal cost.
But folks shouldn't worry that these are low security prisoners.
Yes, very, very low security prisoners, and the majority, if not all of them, are on the verge of being released either 3 months, 6 months from the end of their term. So, you know, these are not the high security threat criminals or anything like that. And as I said before, there are other municipalities other than Marana that have successfully used them. And Marana specifically, over the last 8 years, has had 0 incidents.
I know you're happy about a new Goodwill store that's going to open October the 6th in Oro Valley. We'll be hiring 25 full-time employees to work at the new store.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I have the distinct pleasure of doing the ribbon cutting for that, and you're correct, it is October 6th, so it's going to be the late afternoon after my State of the Town address. But in these times, you know, it's very important. Not only does it provide employment, but it provides a place where people who are very hard hit by the economy can go to for a helping hand. And it also gives the town of Oro Valley residents a place to allow a helping hand to other people who may not be so fortunate in these tough times.
What's this I hear about your name coming up as a possible candidate in District 1, Pima County Supervisor? Is there any truth
to... You had to go there, didn't you?
Of course I had to go there. Yeah, I keep hearing the mayor of Oro Valley, he may be interested in succeeding Ann Day.
Well, I'll put it this way. That's not coming out of my mouth.
Okay.
There are other people who, for whatever reason, I still haven't figured it out, but I'm very flattered, who think that I would be a very good candidate for that position. But bottom line is my business is in Oro Valley. My kids go to school here. I live and breathe Oro Valley.
That's right, and you've got your dental practice, too.
That is correct. That is correct.
we're going to have to run.
I'm very satisfied for being the mayor of Oro Valley.
Okay, Mayor, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay. Coming up on 12:30, we'll be talking about genetically modified organisms. That's next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. British prosecutors say they've authorized police to charge a seventh man in an alleged suicide bombing plot. The other six have already been charged after being arrested in Birmingham in central England. International forces in Afghanistan have released some new numbers suggesting that violence in the country is on the decline. A federal appeals court refuses to decide the constitutionality of the former military policy on homosexuals. That's the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. More than 3 dozen people have been charged in a prescription drug sweep. It included a raid on a Boeing plant near Philadelphia. It turns out military helicopters. Wall Street, the Dow is up 9 points, the NASDAQ down 38, and the S&P is 3 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lim and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
. 12:33 on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and if you're a regular listener to this program, you know that health is one of the areas that we cover regularly here on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we're going to be talking next about genetically modified organisms known as GMOs. With me in studio, Melissa Diane Smith. Melissa is an internationally recognized investigative health journalist and holistic nutritionist who counsels clients across the country on how to use food as their best medicine for a wide variety of health conditions. She's the author of Going Against the Grain and Gluten-Free Throughout the Year. She's the co-author with our friend Jack Chalam of Syndrome X, and she's the director of education for the GMO-Free Project of Tucson. Melissa, good to talk with you again. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we were delighted to have you on our program in April. You gave us a terrific interview talking about the gluten-free diet. But today we're going to switch gears, something really completely different, a dramatic change in how our food is processed.
That's right. You know, food may look like it used to 15 years ago. It may even taste like it used to. But on the inside, it's very different. And many crops are not grown from seed that have been passed down through generations. Instead, there's been kind of a radical change in how foods are produced.
What has caused this change?
Well, it's a genetic engineering or genetic modification. And many foods now contain these GMOs, which are organisms that don't occur in nature, but are instead created in a laboratory to make them. Genes from viruses, bacteria, and other sources are inserted into the genes of plants. That's what we're talking about right now, plants, to make crops that are tolerant to herbicides that kill many other plants, or to make plants that have a little bit of pesticide in every bite. So that's a very big change in our food system. It's not the way food used to be. And in many countries, there has been public outcry against genetically modified foods, which have led to either bans or labeling of genetically modified foods. But here in the United States, genetically modified foods are allowed on the market without testing and without labeling, despite warnings of risks from the FDA's own scientists. So it's a little bit like we're in a feeding experiment we didn't know we were in.
Well, I'm very curious about the types of foods perhaps maybe we should avoid. Or can you give us some of the food groups that are using these GMOs?
Yes, there are only 8 genetically modified crops on the market right now. The 5 main ones are soy, sugar from sugar beets, corn, canola, as in canola oil, and cottonseed oil. There's also a small percentage of zucchini and yellow squash, and Hawaiian papaya only. Not papaya from Mexico, but Hawaiian papaya.
Huh, why is that? They're just trying to save money by using perhaps cut down on putting more pesticides into the pineapple?
That is actually not. It was genetically modified to be resistant to a certain virus, and I believe it was developed at the University of Hawaii.
We have a question coming in for you, and the question is, if the package says organic, does that count for anything in terms of GMOs?
Yes. Organic, when a food is labeled 100% USD organic, that does mean that genetically modified organisms are not supposed to be used in the production of that food.
You have some education events coming up so people can learn more about these issues.
Yes. Tonight at 7 o'clock at the Crossroads Theater, we are showing The Future of Food. It's a movie that covers how genetically modified foods are untested, unlabeled, and risky in a number of different ways. This Sunday, we're going to be at the St. Philip's Farmers Market answering questions and giving out information. There will also be a community class, Do You Know What's Hidden in Your Food, at Catalina Foothills High School on October 20th. And every day during the month of October, that's starting on Saturday, we have the first ever online Eat GMO-Free Challenge. So people can just go to our website and get a tip each day to help them avoid eating genetically modified organisms every day during the month of October.
And that's GMOfreeTucson.org.
That's correct.
And the St. Philip's Farmers Market, that's the one at the St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell.
Correct. Uh-huh.
Now, you're also going to be at Tucson Meat Yourself.
I am, yes.
That's coming up very quickly, the famous Tucson Meet Yourself Festival, Saturday, October 15th, and Sunday the 16th.
Yep, at 3 o'clock I will be presenting both days, and then I will be doing book signings immediately following the presentations.
And topics going to be?
Going against the grain to combat obesity and diabetes, and on Sunday the 16th, it's gluten-free, but is it healthy?
That's the big question. How did you get interested in these GMOs?
Well, you know, when I was researching for my book Going Against the Grain in 2001, I learned that a certain type of genetically modified corn called starling corn caused severe allergic reactions in some people. That corn was taken off the market, but many other types of genetically modified corn have been introduced into our food supply since then, and animal research has found severe health problems, such as immune system problems, infertility, gastrointestinal problems, and organ damage associated with eating genetically modified corn and other foods. So it's really a topic that people are not aware of, but with October being non-GMO month, I think it's an issue that people should really get educated about.
So it sounds like we are behind the curve of some countries in this issue.
Yeah, we really are. In Europe, they caused such a fuss, basically, and did not want genetically modified organisms in food and actually protested so much that companies pulled them out of their foods. We can do that here, too, if we just get educated about it.
Do you see some similarities in, let's face it, gluten-free was not really a household word or words until just the last few years. Is the same thing, perhaps, I suppose you're hoping there'll be much more awareness of these GMOs?
Yeah, you know, with my work, I've just tried to write about and research and educate people about nutrition issues that really make a big difference in their health. And you're right, gluten-free was not talked about. Now it's pretty big. Most people know what it is. And I think it's only a matter of time before more people are aware of GMOs.
Are they increasing the number of GMOs?
Well, they want to, but I think a lot depends on how the public reacts. And this is really the time to take a stand and avoid eating them, because if we do, we can create a tipping point of consumer rejection against GMOs.
What are some of the alternatives if you don't want to eat them?
Well,
you still want pineapple. I guess you would look for a pineapple that...
A pineapple is not genetically modified. It's papaya that is...
Papaya,
You could look for papaya from Mexico, for example. Mm-hmm. With corn, there's blue corn chips that are organic, for example. That is not genetically modified. So there are a lot of tricks to the of the trade, and we're going to cover all those during the Eat GMO-Free Challenge.
Okay, and again, for that challenge, it's the website is GMOfreeTucson.org. And I also want to give out your websites, MelissaDianeSmith.com, and you also have AgainstTheGrainNutrition.com. Both of those are your websites. You working on a new book about this subject?
Oh, right. Yes. Writers never like to say what they're working.
Okay. And so the most immediate event is an event tonight, correct? And that is The Future of Food. And that film will be showing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Crossroads Theater. And you can get information on GMO education events again at GMO.com. freetucson.org. Melissa, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster
Show. Thank you so much for having me.
Melissa Diane Smith talking about these genetically modified organisms on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up on 12:44, we will be talking about the University of Arizona, the three state universities, and their budget picture for the next fiscal year. We'll be talking with Board of Regent Rick Myers. That's next on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
¶¶
1248 on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on the home of the Buckmaster Show, the very powerful, in fact, the most powerful Southern Arizona news talk station, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and on buckmastershow.com. Please check out buckmastershow.com and you will see our show pledge displayed very prominently. Listener opinions matter, respect the audience, forum for ideas, quality guests, and inform listeners. That's the Buckmaster Show pledge for you. The University of Arizona is asking the state for about 19% more money next year. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Rick Myers. Mr. Myers represents Tucson on the Board of Regents, which oversees the three state universities. Rick Myers is the Chief Operating Officer for the Tucson-based CPATH. Rick Myers, along with former Senator Dennis DeConcini, is also a member of the Board of Regents that is heading the search committee to select Dr. Shelton's replacement at the University of Arizona. Rick Myers, good to talk with you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's great to hear from you as well.
Thank you, Rick. Tell me about this operating budget for the fiscal year 13. How do you view this spending plan?
Well, what we're looking at, and we're in the middle of having conversations with the governor's office and the legislature, the sales tax that the voters were kind enough to pass for education, K through 12 and higher education a couple of years ago, has one more year left in it. And I think as we still look ahead and don't know where the economy is going for sure in Arizona, we hope we're coming up out of the doldrums and things are getting stronger. But we were looking at a budget that wasn't so much raising spending that will go on forever. We were looking at a budget that had some one-time expenses in it. So when you look at that request from the University of Arizona, it's things like expanding the medical school, it's infrastructure, it's things that can really help the school right now, but they tend to be one-time expenses. They're not increasing the overall spending over time.
So this is really just a portion, is it safe to say, of what the real need is, the true system-wide need?
Yeah, the system-wide need is very large. We have a lot of deferred maintenance that hasn't been done over the last decade. As you know, the funding from the state, and the state's had a tough time, but the funding from the state 4 years ago for all three universities was about $1.2 billion. Last year, it was $690 million. So the ability of the state to provide funding to the universities has been severely constrained over the last few years as we've had tough economic problems.
You know, when you look at over the last few years with these tough problems with the economy, things seem to be turning around, Rick Myers. The sales tax revenues look a little more encouraging. Does that give you a sense of perhaps maybe the universities will get what you believe will be their fair share this time around in the next session of the legislature?
Well, we're optimistic. I've had personal meetings with the leadership of the House and the Senate and with the governor's office, and I think everyone recognizes that the universities investing in the education of our citizens in Arizona is extremely important to our future. And I think there's an attitude to do everything that's possible to help support education in the state.
Yeah, how do you view the situation with tuition at this point? Will there be a tuition increase for the fiscal year 2013?
I know the opinion of the regents is to do everything possible to try to limit any type of tuition increase. Because again of the economy, we've had to raise tuition quite a bit the last few years, and I know there's very much an attitude of trying to do as little as absolutely possible this coming year.
Over the past 5 years, the state has cut about one-third of its funds to the University of Arizona. The UA doubled tuition, cut hundreds of jobs during that time. How is the morale right now in the university system from what you've seen, Rick Myers?
Well, I think we've had strong leadership. I think Dr. Shelton worked with the professors, worked with the professional staff, worked with the students to make sure they understood that we were trying to do everything possible to maintain an absolutely high-quality environment for them as we have weathered this storm. Now that we're involved with the search process for a new president, I think there's a lot of excitement about the economy getting better, new leadership coming in, and hopefully turning the corner and having a great university that becomes even more great as we look forward.
What about this search now for the new university president? How is that going with you and Senator DeConcini? Are you getting a lot of interest?
Oh, we're getting a tremendous amount of interest. Senator DeConcini and I are chairing the search committee. We've put together a very diverse group of people from the state and especially from the Tucson community and the faculty at U of A and others. We have received many nominations, many people volunteering for the job. There's very strong people out there that we're having very private discussions with to get them to see themselves in Arizona and why this may be the next great step for them in their careers. So there's a lot of discussion, a lot of activity, and some very outstanding people that are expressing an interest. So I'm very optimistic that we'll get a great president, and that's exactly what U of A deserves.
We're speaking with Rick Myers, Board of Regent member from Tucson. And what is the timetable for bringing a new president to the University of Arizona, Rick?
Well, the intent is to have someone hired by next spring. That would begin sometime next summer. Dr. Sander is doing a great job serving in the role right now as president, and as I think I talked the last time I was on your show, Gene is in there doing things. I mean, Gene is the president of the university. He's taking action. He's moving things forward. And his goal is to create a situation where the new president is excited to get here.
You know, and I still see Eugene Sander referred to in some media reports as UA's interim president. But set the record straight here. He is the president. Isn't that correct?
Yes. No, we've made it very clear that he is not a placeholder. He knows that he's only going to serve for a short period, and he came out of retirement. He was leaving as Dean of Agriculture and beginning to retire when we asked him to stay on. But he told us he would stay on for a finite time as we ran a search for a new president. But he understands that he's in the job, he's fully empowered, and the people of the university realize that he is the president and he's making decisions. He's not just occupying a space until someone new gets there. So he is the president of the University of Arizona.
I want to ask you about the announcement that the Mayo Clinic has decided to open up, really teaming up with ASU as far as a another medical school. What's the feeling from the Board of Regents on this move?
Well, you know, it's very positive. I was up here in Phoenix. In fact, I'm still up here right now. And I was at the announcement at Mayo Clinic this week. Dr. Noseworthy, the worldwide CEO and chair of Mayo Clinic, was there making the announcement. They'll be training 48 medical students in the state of Arizona at this medical school. It'll be the first extension of the Mayo Medical School outside of Rochester, Minnesota. So it's wonderful that they picked Arizona to have their first extension. But if you look at the students that we have in Tucson at U of A and the students at the Phoenix campus of the Tucson Medical School, as well as Mayo, together we're still not at a level we need to be to backfill the doctors who will be retiring in the future in the state. So certainly U of A is growing its medical school, Mayo coming in here. It's great because where doctors train tends to be where doctors stay. And we absolutely need as many good doctors in this state looking forward as we can get.
So on the surface, it might look like, hey, this is big competition for the University of Arizona, but you see it more as it's a win with ASU being involved because, after all, the Regents represent three state universities, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. And ASU is a research partner with Mayo. Mayo is one of the premier clinical enterprises in the nation. Patient care is their thing. Mayo has not in and of itself been a major research arm, and they are partnering with ASU for research. All of the doctors that are being trained at Mayo will get a master's degree in health science from ASU. U of A owns its own medical school and runs its own medical school, and it's very high quality. So these are two separate efforts, but both good for Arizona. I know the chair of Mayo and the president of ASU have already talked to Gene Sander. They've talked about opportunities to have synergy in the future in resident training and working with the hospitals across the state. So this very much will be a positive collaborative effort.
And again, getting back to that 19% boost in state funding for the three state universities, you would say in the lawmakers you've been speaking with, the reception has been, how would you characterize it?
Well, I'd characterize it as cautiously optimistic, that certainly people recognize the importance of the universities, but they also see the challenges with K through 12. They see the challenges with the cost of access, medical care in our state, and they also see that we worry about, are we going to have a double dip recession, what's really happening to the economy. So I think the attitude is certainly very positive, but it's cautious until we know more and we can look at the requirements and figure out how we can do the best across the board.
Rick Myers, have a great afternoon. Thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Okay, coming up on 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, Jeff Rogers, Pima County Democratic Chair, is our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. A week ago, we had the new Pima County Republican Chair, Carolyn Cox, and now it will be the Democrats' turn tomorrow on the Friday Focus. And, of course, we'll have our Friday Reporters Roundtable talking about the week's top stories on the Buckmaster Show, which is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associate Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway. And don't forget, it's the John C. Scott Show, the living legend himself, 4 o'clock this afternoon, right here on KVOI, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow live at noon on the Buckmaster Show.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.